I want to talk to you this morning, dear friends, on the subject, does your influence count for God? In the Bible, we read that none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We read that Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. We read that he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Once in the Bureau of Standards in Washington, a tiny tube containing less than 0.002 of an ounce of radium was accidentally dropped and broken on a hardwood floor. With a camel's hair brush, they swept up the radium. Then they washed the floor to get the rest of it, but enough remained to render another washing necessary, this time with acidulated water, and still another with soda water, and a fourth time with hydrant water. Each yielded $400 worth of radium. Finally, a carpenter scraped the floor. 3 years later, the shavings were burned and ashes found to be strong in radium. This makes us think of how impossible it is to get rid of influence. Of the Bible truth that no man liveth or dieth to himself. Of the truth that Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. And of the truth that he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Influence is invisible and intangible. Like love, like hope, influence is invisible and cannot be touched. Like faith, like prayer, influence cannot be weighed on scales or wrapped up in a package. Like friendship, influence cannot be measured with a yardstick. Like honesty, influence cannot be handled or carried in the pockets. Influence cannot be scrutinized with a microscope, observed with a telescope, or reflected in a mirror. Yet reality, potent it is. You can no more prevent what you are, what you say, and what you do from affecting other people than you can prevent your body from casting a shadow in sunlight. What you are within, you show without, with no ambiguous expression. You exert an influence which mere language and strong persuasion are feeble to express. As to influence, we face an impossibility. Influence, almost impossible of definition, is not calculated by mathematics, not deducible by logic. It is not propositions, definitions, demonstrations, abstract truth, system, or code. Like the germination of seeds, it is mysterious yet effectual, real, a subtle potency. But as personality may be regarded as the sum total of all the traits and qualities of the physical, psychological, and spiritual life which characterizes an individual, so influence, unseen in its power, is the total effect of one life on other lives, the gentle and pure, and the ugly and the mean. The humblest person that ever was exerts influence upon some others. You may not be conscious of it, others may not be aware of it, but influence constantly emanates from you like a magnet, alive and active. It's impossible for one's life to be neutral. Thinking of influence, we face an inevitability. You cannot live or die without exerting an influence. Though your sphere be small and contracted and you are but one unit of a great whole, humanity, you are not an individual unit living an insulated and isolated existence. Rather, are you like a planet which, wheeling through space, exercises profound influence on others. Inevitably, you come in contact with other individuals, touching somebody, moving somebody. As a force bearer and a force producer, you journey forward, exhaling influences. As the least movement in nature is important, as the entire ocean is affected by a pebble, so your life, never too small, too weak, or too obscure to lack influence. No act of any man's is an isolated act. That's why one man said, optometry wounded in California bleeds in Bangor, Maine. All lives exert influence, some in small measure, some in large measure, to be sure, but influence nevertheless. Nothing in the earth or the heavens is solitary. No drop of water, no grain of sand, no ray of light, no atom of creation. Some folks exert influence as real, some as rivers in magnitude, some as lamps softly glowing, some as volcanoes vomiting as far as fires hard to put out, some as lava, some as matches quickly spent, some flutes whispering breath, some as organ whose full breath is thunder. But with influence do all people live. That invisible power clings to you, grows as you grow, strengthens with your strength, has being in all words and acts of your life. You are positive in the place you occupy, making the world better or making the world worse. You do work in peopling heaven or in filling hell. Your common deeds of your common day reach far. Parker said, sacred and sensitive universe, if I lift a hand, I send a shudder to the stars. Thinking of influence, we think of iniquity. I mean the iniquity of God-displeasing influence cast on the side of Satan against God. A man can so live as to be a dog in the manger, a fly in the ointment, as grit on the axle, as disease in the blood. Your sin is not an isolated fact or act, the responsibility which begins and ends with you. It is part of a vast network and entanglement. If darkness rules you, you shade. If frozen with selfishness, you chill. If corrupt, you poison. If infidelic, you foster atheism. If a boozer, you strengthen drunkenness. If a liar, you wound truth. If impure, you defile. If afraid, you persuade others to fear. There is such a thing as the contagion of cowardice. In the book of Deuteronomy, we read these words. What man is there that is, let him return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. There is the contagion of courage, too. In the book of Acts, we read of a great storm when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and all hope that the 276 passengers would be saved was taken away. Then Paul stood forth and said, there stood by me this night the angel of God whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Then Paul, trusting God, took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And the calming influence of his courage and faith is shown in these words. Then they were all of good cheer. The shame or glory, to shame or glory, men may be persuaded by example. One person may, by fear, turn many into a panic-stricken mob. One person may, by courage and sense, convert many into heroes. A vicious influence runs on in successive harvests of evil because of the fact that the iniquities of the fathers are visited upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Jesus spoke of the iniquity of an evil influence in these words of woe. Ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go in. He said again, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to that man by whom offense cometh. When you make someone else a better or worse person, you feel the power of your life. You have the power of making people better or worse. That power is called influence. As to influence, we think of inspiration. This is inspiration, lifting up tired hands, strengthening feeble knees, opening blind eyes, cheering fainting hearts, through living a life that is a blessing, not a blight, unto others. Be noble, said Noel, Lowell. Be noble, and the nobleness that lies in other men sleeping but never dead will rise in majesty to meet thine own. And then thinking of influence, we think of the immortality of influence. Abel being dead, yet speaketh. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. When a man dies, he's not done with the world, and the world is not but a man, be he good or bad, which men cannot confine in a coffin, which cannot be obscured in a shroud, which cannot be hauled in a hearse, which cannot be buried. We are greatly affected by what other men did. We eat from orchards we did not tend, drink from wells we did not dig, reap from fields we did not sow, gather from gardens we did not plant, and find refuge under roofs which we did not build. Every telegram says that Samuel F. B. Morse, being dead, yet speaketh. So says every cablegram of Cyrus Field. Every telephone says that Bell still lives. Every reaper says McCormick still roams the wheat fields. Every discovery by astronomers says that Galileo still lives. Every anesthetic administers says that Simpson and Long still live. Every x-ray says Röntgen, being dead, yet speaketh. Every printed page says Gutenberg speaks through the printing press. Every cotton gin says Eli Whitney, being dead, yet speaketh. Every play by Shakespeare says the great dramatist still plays his part on the stage of the world. Every steamboat says that Robert Fulton, who launched his first steamboat on the Seine in 1803 and another on the Hudson in 1807, is still walking in influence on the face of the deep. Statesmen who pass iniquitous laws live in those laws, cursing successive generations. Authors of base books survive in their books like a chronic pestilence. Libertines who set corrupting fashions live in those fashions, infecting multitudes in later years. False teachers, though dead, live in those whom they deceived. A crushed serpent stings no more. A broken arrow pierces no more. A slain lion devours no more. But the dead sinner continues to wound and to destroy. Creatures of a day, we inhabit the future because of the immortality of influence which fire cannot burn, nor floods drown, nor disease destroy, nor time corrode, nor moth eat, nor rust taint, nor death kill. When your influence, when your dress is moth-eaten, when your photograph is faded, when your home has been pulled down, when your grave is sunk to the level of the earth, your subtle image will still remain among men in blackness or beauty, influencing posterity. You have an individual influence which is inevitable going out from you. Now let me make an inquiry before I close. Have you let this influential Christ have his way with you? This Christ whose name sounds down the corridors of the centuries like the music of all choirs, visible and invisible, poured forth in one anthem. Have you confessed to him your sins? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Have you made the Son of God's will the law of your life? Have you learned that to walk with him no strength is lost? Have you found out by yielding in faith to him that your burden will be lightened and your bleeding heart staunched? All things, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sorrow, temptations, none of these, all of these things will be made subservient to your best interest if you trust him as Savior and live for him as Lord. This Christ is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. From his spirit and merit flow your redemption, your justification, your peace, your joy in the Holy Ghost, your blessedness in the world to come. Have you accepted him who will not break the bruised reed or quench the smoking flesh? Have you put Christ and his claims first? Of human relationships to this Christ who, though once rejected, is now your Redeemer. I plead with you to put your influence on his side. Put your influence out to wake and wave, to shine and serve in behalf of the things for which he stands and for the causes which he espouses. Will you make money Christ's servant, not your master? Will you make the cross an experience, not a mere ornament in your life? Without conscious, deliberate, or intentional reservation, from entire obedience to his divine will, desiring no half measures, ready for terrific travail of soul, will you follow him who saves? Then in life, more blessed than tongue can declare, will be your influence in every enterprise of Christ. Our Father, help us also to speak and think and live, that others will take knowledge of us, that we have been with Jesus. May we have exert the right sort of influence, and may this influence count much in the cause of Christ, as we ask it in his blessed name. Amen.